Blog Talk Radio.
Similar in their outlooks and understanding.
This is how we get mind control, guys. Through the media, through everything else. So, okay. Incredibly so, like we're following a script. Look at yourself, how you dress, the expressions you use, what you're into. No matter what segments of society you're living in, it's pretty freaky. I remember when I decided to grow out my facial hair and looking in the mirror, thinking, am I following some meme being broadcast by these bastards? Is it paranoid? Totally. It's the only way on this planet, completely healthy. If you're not, then you're not awake yet. You're not paranoid. Truth is never popular. While defined consensus gets established and reaffirms this status quo, contrary, eddies of thought and realization make their way through the public psyche. These are carefully ferreted out by the watchdog media cabal and portrayed as fringe ideas and conspiracy theories, of course. Carefully and dutifully packaged and sublimated into a negative subconscious arena, for the mainstream unawakened. Anything contrary is now anathema, resented, spuriously thrown overboard as a wingnut conspiracy talk, and typical, and more importantly, very effective and very efficient. You want to read the list, then,
sure.
Or you want me to?
Yeah, well,
it's
doing
this. Getting to the point. I'll take the truth over BS fairy tales any day of eternity. No matter the pain and seeming loss of emotional or otherwise investments, bring on the truth. 9/11 is always the standard reminder of how duped the world can be. Plain as the nose on your face, those towers were brought down by some sort of exotic and carefully planned out-demolition technique. But what the hell? No one cares, or very few. At least that's the portrayal we get, and it seems to hold that way way too much water. People are even afraid to discuss the subject. That's when you know society has been seriously hemmed in and headed for dismemberment. As obvious as it is, the truth can just be right there without people being able to see it. It's the condition of our race. We want to believe what we want, and we'll cloak it in positive thinking or idealism, or impose our bottom-line security needs whenever we can for peace and comfort. Enter psychosexual addiction. This psychological pandering we're witnessing is simply a ploy to keep the masses asleep. Populace has been duped, hypnotized, seduced. It no longer can contain, maintain ourself, or control itself. It must have the savories and goodies of the system, or it will go berserk. This addiction is firmly established. Football advertising, game shows, real dramas, zombie and vampire horror and sci-fi movies, while sucking down addictive, poisonous foods. These bring it on. What more? We want another reality, not our own. Scantily dressed young girls, sculpted, feminized men, and cross-sexual weirdness of every type and genre. Bring it on. Chaos is our new middle name. In fact, their manipulated, shifting world is apparently our new normal. Chaos is the new normal. Is as cognitively dissonant in the war on terrorism. Let me do that again. Chaos is the new normal. Okay, that's in quotes. Is as cognitively dissonant as the war on terrorism. Orwell, you must be howling. Now, this guy gets a little off the wall. Sometimes the Zen Gardener, but you know, he's got a good point. And we are getting mind control and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I was thinking the other day, we were just our TV went out.
For a week,
and we had two, but the one we were watching the one downstairs now. And it went out. It was just like, boom, you know? And it was weird not having that TV, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was kind of weird because we usually watch it in the morning, you know, early morning, get the news and weather, and then we go to work and then, watch a little, maybe an hour or two at night. Right?
Yeah.
That's about it.
If that, sometimes,
yeah.
Maybe not even that much.
Yeah, we watch the news and maybe a sitcom or something. But it's like, without it, you find yourself, kind of, wow, missing something, you know? It you wouldn't think it made that kind of a difference in your life, but it did, you know? I remember when I was out, we had a problem with the internet. Oh, my God. I remember when we were out of power for 4 days there, and then one day, just this year, kind of threw your life into a spin.
Yeah, maybe. It's not the same, and you're missing a tool
that you need, you know, It's like, it's just really kind of the same. But we got another one, and boom, and then we're back in addicted land again. Conventionally, we always try to cover health articles in the show, and this one was kind of an interesting one because Lila and I are extremely opposed to any GMO products, and this is
it's so bad for you. You don't really know what's going to happen in the future,
and this is
how it alters your body or what it does.
Yeah, and this is an article by Alex Jones at InfoWars, and by Anthony Luciardi. He's writing for InfoWars, and it says, conventional food may soon be sterilized with microwave zap.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I read this one.
Yeah. If you're among the millions who avoid nuking food with microwave radiation in your own home, you may soon have yet another reason to avoid most conventional food items. Using the recent emergence of Salmonella E. coli in food as a scapegoat, corporations known as MicroZap is seeking to make its way into the food supply and its new microwave zap technique. The technique effectively hits food with a super high level of microwave radiation, killing all living bacteria, including good bacteria that is necessary for digestion and proper overall function. The company says that by using MicroZap technology, food can be sterilized and mold-free for 60 days. Food that is zapped will not rot, as the food is completely wiped clean. Zapped for a set period of time, such as the example of 40 seconds for jalapeno peppers, the company is also seeking to hook up with the United States Pentagon for a contracting bid. The super microwave zap could be used to sterilize food like bread and therefore make it incapable of rotting for more than 60 days. Do you want to read the rest of
that? Sure.
Yeah. Because if it rots, it's good for you.
Oh, yeah. I have to move up a little in the light. If it rots, it's good for you. Numerous health practitioners have been known to utter a saying along the lines, if it rots, it's likely good for you. I don't necessarily agree with this saying when considering that conventional food rots and is loaded with pesticides, GMOs, and other problematic substances, but the root of the saying holds very true. The reason that rotting food is good for you is that these foods contain beneficial bacteria that is absolutely essential for your overall health. Fermented foods are often the quickest to go bad, and it's no coincidence that these items contain the most bountiful amounts of probiotic bacteria. Scientific research in recent times have confirmed time and time again that bacteria is absolutely essential for proper immune function, and it even directly impacts your mental health. That's why the rampant use of antibiotics is fueling mass mental illness and chronic conditions as doctors prescribe antibiotics from everything from the common cold to the seasonal flu without even recommending the addition of probiotic bacteria. Is it any wonder that the immunity of most individuals is seriously compromised? There's another popular saying, health starts in the gut, and that one I freely agree with. And by sterilizing all conventional foods of key bacteria contents through mass nuking of the products, the issue is only exacerbated. And it's already being done through irradiation of the food supply, pasteurization techniques, and more. Now this microwave zap technology seeks to promote profits through desecrating the food supply even further. As if you needed another reason to avoid conventional foods full of GMO, preservatives, additives, artificial sweeteners, and other problematic substances. Well, MicroZap may soon give you another reason. Oh, boy.
What is that?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought this was kind of interesting because this happens so much that you know, you're hearing it so much, is why the deadliest food outbreak of the decade is yet another food scare campaign. Disease outbreaks, this is by Edith Huff of Natural News. Disease outbreaks associated with the U.S. food supply have become an all-too-common occurrence these days. And with at least six major outbreaks having been reported just this year alone, and with the most recent listeria outbreak affecting Colorado sourced cantaloupes, where at least 13 people have died and 70 others have been sick thus far, officials and the media are once again working the public into a frenzy about food safety. On September 14, 2011, Holly company based Jensen Farms around a recall of more than 4 million Rocky Ford cantaloupes. It had shipped it to at least 17 U.S. states between July 29th and September 10th of this year. Of 2011. And the recalled cantaloupes are said to be contaminated with listeria. But we remember that.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that. But,
Information on this case, put off by Wall Street website,
just a few days ago. It said, this Friday morning, Staten Island police representing the mayor's office has threatened eviction action against the crucial Staten Island hub at 489 Midland Avenue in the heavy-hit Midland Beach area. Alman Youssef, a 42-year-old Syrian-American Staten Islander whose house was destroyed in the hurricane, has been running a 24/7 community pop-up hub outside his property at 489 Midland Avenue since the day after the storm. He and a coalition of neighbors, friends, and community members are serving hot food and offering cleaning supplies, non-perishables, medical supplies, and clothing to the thousands of residents who are still without heat, power, or safe housing. This popular hub is well-run, well-staffed, and has a constant hum of discussion, support, and advice, as well as donations and pickups and volunteer dispatch to another pop-up group, volunteers who call themselves the Yellow Team. This approach that Occupy Wall Street has been taking of competing with inefficient government monopolies is a strategy called agorism. Recently, I wrote an article about how Occupy Wall Street had been adopting this approach in a lot of their recent projects. The strategy is so effective and makes the government look so incompetent and so obsolete that it's no surprise that they are showing this kind of force to preserve the false legitimacy of their monopolies. Occupy Wall Street, outshining FEMA in the wake of the natural disasters, reminiscent of actions taken by an agorist in early American history, Landor Spooner. Landor Spooner was an outspoken philosopher and abolitionist and voluntarist during the 19th century, who was not only a brilliant author and speaker, but he also started a letter delivering service to compete with the government post office, which outshined the state monopoly until it was forced out of business. So what he's saying here basically is that Occupy Wall Street has developed a system in New York anyway, to aid those people that need help, you know, aid those homeless people whose lives got shattered there in the hurricane.
Did you read the article on the Occupy Wall Street people getting thrown out?
That's the one.
I didn't hear that. I was out.
Yeah.
they were providing all kinds of great stuff.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of good stuff.
And then they closed down their facility.
They haven't yet, but they're serving eviction notice.
Yeah, I don't really understand that fully, so.
Well, because they're all kinds of problems they got there. You know, they're claiming, it's not safe.
This is Bloomberg.
Yeah, Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm.
Bloomberg. He's a prick. He's a globalist. You know?
Mm-hmm.
This is another beautiful one. Before we bring Gail up, did you read the one on Cheerios?
No.
You didn't? No. Okay. This is funny because Cheerios thought they were real cool, right? You know, and they were going to put up this new marketing program on Facebook. And, you know, but it turns out Cheerios removes app during fury of anti-GMO backlash. Cheerios has faced a humiliating public relations failure thanks to the undiscriminating nature of free speech through social media. Just a few days ago, Cheerios, General Mills, released an app on Facebook asking fans to gratefully show what Cheerios means to them. Users would write their own sentiments by placing Cheerios' iconic black font over a yellow template, complete with little Cheerios for periods and dots. The app was yanked after only one day when their Facebook page and photo album associated with the app was flooded with a torrent of anti-GMO messages from angry consumers.
Ooh.
Yeah, poison. You could literally spend all day looking at the recent posts by others on Cheerios' Facebook page. They are nearly all complaints about GMOs and declarations of boycotts against Cheerios in general. Cheerios Facebook admins were hard pressed to keep up any keep up with the angry pics and planes view on the, for everyone. They deleted most of them, but some screenshots still existed on Cheese Slave. And here, other pins included cancerous science experiments, chirigmos, and colony collapse disorder. We are not guinea pigs and more. That's very good. And they got some of the signs that we put up on those medias.
Oh yeah.
It says contain toxic ingredients, toxic GMOs, all in the Cheerios writing, you know, and GMOs, no thanks. And it doesn't appear that they even tried to delete any GMO comments in the recent posts or other sections because they are all still flooding in at this moment. Feel free to go there and leave your comments on their wall. And why wouldn't customers be upset after the questionable defeat of Proposition 37 to label GMOs and the millions spent by corporations to snuff consumer desire to know what's in their food?
That'd be kind of nice.
Yeah, and according to Ballot Media, General Mills donated $1,135,300 for no on Proposition 37 in order to keep their products from having to bear GMO labelings. And so even if they were removed GMOs and promote an organic line, so it would not appease former customers. General Mills has drawn their line in the sand, spent over $1 million to deceive paying customers, and is now trying to hide the backlash from other customers who do not yet know the damaging nature of genetic modification. The article goes on a little more. I want to bring up Gail here in a second. It just goes to show that the fight for truth about GMOs in the face of deception by Monsanto, DuPont, and large food corporations is far from over. And consumers are winning without needing millions for a failed hush money campaign. And unswayed, we are taking information into our hands, like the people who took to labeling grocery products themselves with anti-GMO stickers that you can print off here. Oh, okay. So in this article, you can get anti-GMO stickers that you can put on food if you in the supermarkets, if you know it's there.
Well, that's always a good thing.
We can go in with stickers and label them ourselves. Everybody knows. And says perhaps consumers are also angry about the deception marketing of whole grains, added synthetic vitamins that our bodies don't recognize, and other toxic ingredients and fillers like wood pulp. And regardless of that, or the presence of GMOs, GreenMedInfo has fervently written on dangers of wheat and other grains in our diet, most recently about mycotoxins, or fungus, that our industrial food complex allows to incubate in large storage facilities and causes major hormone disruption. To avoid spending money on corporations that spend millions to promote GMOs, maybe it would be better to take a look at breakfast meals around the world. Thanks to Real Food Blog or Cheese Slave, you know, you can go to Cheese Slave for catching this event before it was swept under the cyber rug. The Cheerios and General Mills, shame on you and your lies. And Ellie Graham. And we're going to go to, let me see if Gail is with us here in a second. Here we go. Hey.
Okay.
Buddy. All right. And, okay. All right, we're going to give Gail a call here, so let's hang on a second.
So hang on while we call Kale Corey Thompson to see if she can talk to us a little bit about the issues in Palestine and the new observer status that the Palestinian people have at the UN and what her position is on it, why she supports it or doesn't support it. So Leo's just calling right now.
Hello.
Hey,
hi, Gail. How are you?
Who is it?
It's Lila and Leo.
Oh, gosh. I can't do this.
Oh, you can't?
No, I can't. I'm so sorry.
All right.
Are we on the air?
We'll call you again another time, then.
Okay, I'm really sorry. I hope we're not on the air, are we?
We are.
Oh, dear. Sorry, listeners. I just got caught up in something.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll talk to you another time.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, good night.
Bye.
That was Gail Corey Tonsing, and I guess for something else to happen. She must have gotten caught up in something. I know she's a volunteer on our local, one of the local boards, and sometimes they have emergency things, and I think maybe they've had like three in a row on the board that she's on, so
yeah.
Maybe she'll be on another time.
Well, maybe.
We've been trying to have her on.
Yeah, maybe she's been spoken to.
Oh, I don't know.
Do you think?
No.
Maybe.
Ridiculous.
If they did, Gil would be the last one that would bow down to. But,
Oh, here's an interesting one. Just to add in a little globalist thing. This is about the royal family and what they pay their help. They're advertising for a gardener, and they're paying him. And this is, you have to have a horticultural degree. Let me go to this. I don't know whether that's the article or not. They have.
No, that's the.
Oh, that's on the Queen Mother.
Yeah.
They had one on what they were going to pay their gardener. Oh, it was like dog's wages.
Really?
Oh, terrible. I think it was something like 17,000 pounds. And that's with a college degree.
Oh, you're right. This is the one. Yeah. It's the one. It says, what I instantly noticed about the article is that it starts off well enough by mentioning that Busy Lizzy needs two new gardeners. The junior gardener position gets paid less than £300 per week, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And the senior position gets £340 per week.
Mm-hmm.
So, the article casually mentions that the job starts at 7:30 a.m. Doesn't mention the obvious. The job is in central London. That means a successful application will have travel expenses, too, as well as having to get up in the middle of the night to get to work. Despite neglecting to mention the obvious. I carried on reading, fully expecting the Daily Mail to be scathing about the old parasite. And I should have known better. But what the article does is actually harp on and on about how green the old bitch is. Is she? Who's getting
well, yes, no, the point is that...
What do you fucking do, he says. Let's throw her a few more million quid.
That's the way the British write, but in talk. But
this is David Icke talking on this one.
Oh, but well, anyway.
Yeah, he's hysterical.
But anyway, I mean, the pittance that they're paying these people with a guy, they're looking for a person with a horticultural degree.
Yeah. You gotta go to this website. Chris Speedy, the world put right.
I just thought it was something.
Speedy. This guy's fun. Yeah, I can't read the whole thing on the air because he really.
It's so vulgar.
He goes pretty wild, but you want some fun, you should read it. Anyway.
But don't not miss the point that they don't want to pay anybody.
Yeah, well, no,
work.
That's why he gets so mad at these guys. They're such crooks. So evil.
Mm-hmm. And the world's supposed to stop now for 9 months because what's-her-name's having a baby.
Yeah.
Kate.
Yeah. Who's that? Anyway.
Poor girl, her body's trying to reject it.
Huh. That's what I think. Is that sacrilegious? Brainwashing they put her through to marry that clown. But,
well, I hope her life's better than poor Diana.
Yeah. Well, 137 bullets into unarmed suspects after pursuit in East Cleveland. Two dead. 137 bullets they shot these guys.
Can you imagine?
Two unarmed suspects were slain by police officers.
Oh, unarmed?
Yeah. Unarmed suspects were slain by police officers after a 25-minute pursuit. At the time of the chase, which may have included up to 50 police vehicles, 13 officers drew their weapons and unloaded at least 137 rounds into the suspect's Chevy Malibu. Two weapons were found, and there was no evidence of return fire. The police were so violent and so reckless that they even shot up their own cruisers with friendly fire.
That's not their cruisers. That's the taxpayers.
Taxpayer, East Cleveland. Oh, man. Now, here we go. Cracking chemicals used in U.S. linked to organ damage.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah. All the damn fracking is not only causing earthquakes and...
polluting the water.
Polluting waters and everything.
Probably causing sinkholes and all kinds of things.
This is the Independent. It's a British paper that's talking about this. And it's trying to end fracking. It says, an unidentified chemical used in fracking in the United States has triggered concern after it emerged it can cause kidney and liver damage. A subsidiary of Nabors Industries Limited pumped a mixture of chemicals identified only as EXP FO173-11 into half a dozen oil wells in rural Karnes County, Texas in July. One ingredient, solvent in the blends of chemicals, can cause kidney and liver damage, according to information about the product that Michigan state regulators have on file. A year-old Texas law that requires drillers to disclose chemicals they pump underground during fracking was powerless to compel transparency for EXP-FO173-11. The solvent and several other ingredients in the product are considered a trade secret by Superior Well Services, a Nabors subsidiary, meaning they are exempt from disclosure. And drilling companies in Texas, the biggest oil and natural gas producing state, claimed similar exemptions about 19,000 times in the year up to August, according to their chemical disclosure reports. Nationwide companies withheld information on 1 in 5 chemicals they used in fracking, a separate examination of a broader database shows. And trade secret exemptions block information on more than 5 ingredients for every well in Texas, undermining the statute's purpose of informing people about chemicals that are transported through their communities and injected thousands of feet beneath their homes and farms, said Lon Burn. Burnham, and a Democratic state representative and a co-author of the state. A spokesman for Nabors declined to comment. So that's what's going on, folks. They're
it's hard to imagine my life before her.
What?
Or a day without
them. Chemicals are destroying us. You know? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go for a quick music break since I thought we were going to have Gail on here tonight. But I'm going to take a quick music break.
All right.
And we're going to come back and have some more news for you. And news and views and exciting things. So stand by.
Yeah, we'll just have a few more minutes.
Yeah. Just find something.
Okay.
Something cool to play. documentaries on this stuff, and we gotta learn the hard way, you know, that may not be the best way to get the word done, because it's probably the most
it's more self-destructive than anything else, because the last time we were at a march in Washington, we were sprayed.
Chemicals. Yeah.
And
from helicopters. And
I'm not going to do that to myself again.
No. And I didn't even want to do that either, because I say, and you know what bothered me the most wasn't so much that they sprayed us.
No.
But what bothered me the most was that the bastards that Answer and Peace for Justice and all these people, they'd never even mentioned that it had happened.
They didn't validate the fact that it was brought up.
Even though it was announced by the Washington Post that six alarm sensors went off around the mall, Washington Mall, where the rally was held on that Sunday. Remember?
Yes, I do.
What happened was that they found that it was tularemia. Now, tularemia is an extremely rare disease, but it is a bioweapon, and it's used, and we have it in our military arsenal.
Looks like a white powder.
It doesn't even look like that. It's more like a mist that goes over you. But what it is that it's actually caught by rabbit feces. It was actually called the Hunter's disease.
Yeah, it's in the dirt.
Mm-hmm. in rabbit feces and stuff. But it can cause flu-like symptoms and can cause death if it's not treated properly. Well, they know for a fact that it was sprayed there. They know it. It was reported by a mainstream media, ABC News and Washington Post. And not one activist organization, not
picked
one
that
sponsor,
up or commented on it.
They could have carried that into the White House and impeached George Bush at that point, right then and there. All right, for doing that. Okay, but what happened? Nothing. Nada. You know, these sons of bitches. That's why I can't agree with any of those bastards anymore. I won't go to another Answer rally or Justice and Peace Construction, whatever the hell their names are, I don't care. The fag and Code Pink and all that shit. I mean, no matter what, they were all part of that gig. All right?
It was extremely disappointing to find out
that
they were already compromised before we were even out of Washington to know that. These people probably knew and then didn't do
anything
about
it. Yeah, they suspected it or didn't know, but they knew that they, you know, if I was organizing that huge rally, I would want to know where the sensors are in that area. I would want to know where the public information is to know if you're being irradiated or if you're being sprayed or, you know, if any bioweapons are being launched at you.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that they weren't. All right, and this is not a conspiracy theory. This is actual fact. I have the actual articles. I printed them when they came out because I think this is too rare. All right, and the funny thing was is I showed these articles to people that went to that rally with me, and they all laughed at it like, ah, this guy couldn't happen. That's ridiculous, you know. And I said, every single one of them, almost everybody came down with a cold, flu-like symptoms that are related to the tularemia thing. Others became extremely exhausted. Others got severe congestion. All right. None that we know of died, but there were over 300,000 people at that rally, out from all over the country. So, what I'm trying to say is that my feelings about I agree with resisting and protesting and everything we can do. But if we got to do it, these people are putting their lives on the line, out there to try to make it stop. And unfortunately, they're creating so much trouble for themselves life had begun so a little more easily. But I'm just saying, trust the groups that trust the causes, you know, that you're joining. Trust the organizations if you are in an organization. Make sure your leaders are not traitors. You know, they're not those people that run those organizations, those non-profit activist groups. Some of them are CIA infiltrated, you know, FBI infiltrated. Most of them are. So, beware before you join. This group says anti-drone activists could get 7 years for irritating U.S. Air Force colonel. Judge signed protection order against peaceful protest called an escalation and absurd threat to free speech. A local judge in upstate New York has signed an order of protection for a U.S. Air Force colonel that could make it a crime punishable up to 7 years in prison for anti-drone activists to continue their weekly peace vigil outside or near the gates of the Hancock Air National Guard base here. Now, how will they know if they've broken the rules of order? Apparently, if one specific military officer at the base finds their protests or direct actions irritating personally. Specifically troubling to the activists is that Colonel Errol Evans, commander at the base, who filed the request for the order, is someone the activists have not once targeted directly. Though the order bans them specifically from approaching the home, school, or workplace of Evans, none of the activists even seem to know who he is. Read the judge's order here, and the judge's order is pretty long, but it's really kind of ridiculous, really ridiculous. And unfortunately, you know, this is what happens when you go up against the system. I'm not saying don't go up again. I'm saying go up at all you can. Just be careful who you trust, you know, and leading the way, because they may not be leading the right way, and they may have ulterior motives. Mumps outbreak involved 97% of vaccinated children.
Wow.
Yeah, you want to read that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just have to get where I can see. This is from
Activist
Post. The New England Journal of Medicine has recently released conclusions to the media of a manufactured mumps outbreak of 2009. Oh, I remember this. Which occurred in New York City, two upstate New York counties, and one New Jersey county. There were a total of 3,500 new cases of saliva gland swelling and other symptoms clinically compatible with mumps, of which 1,648 were confirmed with clinical specimens. The results uncovered in the video report below indicate 97% of the cases tested involved students who had been previously vaccinated against the mumps, and even more overwhelming is that 89% had received two doses of the MRI vaccination, which is claimed to provide immunity from the mumps. Here's the exemption forms. In fact, these vaccines do just the opposite. They're used to spread viruses and bacteria throughout the communities through a process the industry has coined herd immunity. The way in which this herd immunity works is that after receiving a vaccination, you become a carrier, sloughing off virus-based compounds and infecting anyone within a compromised immunity system and within snoring distance. That just sounded funny. Today we live in the most experimental and controlled society in the human history, which is leading to an abundant supply of unhealthy individuals who consume poison products and medication on a daily basis under the guise of health and safety. The Center for Disease creation and proliferation has stated that in the United States, 1 in 6 children are diagnosed developmentally disabled, with new medications and new vaccines being introduced every year through the use of government grants and funds. Why is it that we have so many more sick kids and more diseases than ever? I just want to make sure that it's...
Well, we've only got 5 minutes left, so, you know, don't worry about that video.
I don't know why that... It didn't... Well, because I want to make sure that my laptop
sure
is louder. That's all. Public health officials and doctors have been willing to admit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pretty scary. Right.
While the ludicrous explanation public health officials have come up with is to try to explain the school bump basis mumps outbreak among fully vaccinated children is based on a theory that close and extended contact between the vaccinated children bombarded students with large amounts of the virus and allowed the mumps virus to overwhelm the vaccine. Yeah, yeah, right, right, right. I thought they weren't supposed to have any of this stuff, you know, or supposed to fight this vaccine. Yeah. The vaccine was supposed to kill that stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't.
No.
It made it stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I don't know. It's really scary.
Well, it says, as reported by NPR, health officials say it was the unique style of study in yeshivas, a religious school for Orthodox Jews. And a yeshiva, students are paired up in partnerships called shavarasas. And the two students in a shavarasa share the same desk and the same book and engage in a vigorous dialogue among the day's lessons. And throughout the school day, which lasted the 15 hours in the yeshiva, and the students rotate among themselves. I don't know about this. But anyway, what they're saying is natural virus and artificial immunity, natural versus artificial immunity, and it's a long, long article. That's why I'm going to skip it today.
Yeah.
But I just wanted you to know that it's there, and you can find it at foodconsumer.org if you're at all interested.
We didn't have our guest, but maybe next time. She's having trouble with something. So anyway, we hope to have you tune in tomorrow night. We will be doing our all-union show. So I hope you enjoy the rest of the evening, folks. Good night.
Good night, everyone. And join us tomorrow when we do the union issue. Good night, everyone.